I know that you talked about the course being shut down this year and those kind of conditions, but could you take it one step further? They were closed like during COVID, and then about the time they were ready to reopen, they decided to do the improvements and advance, and they closed again and closed again. So you're not really just getting a course that's been closed this spring. You're getting a course that's been closed to outside play for almost 3.5 years.
Yeah.
And how much of a difference does that make instead of just being closed for, say, 3 months this year?
Well, I think agronomically it helps tremendously. You know, with all the renovations and everything that was going on, it gave more than the appropriate time for things to heal. And then it gave us more than enough time to then look at, you know, the new sight lines and how everything played out to make any further refinements. You know, even still to this day, we're still looking at some tree work and last minute things that are going to have impact, not as much inside the ropes, but for the fan experience and other things. So it has given us a tremendous leg up on all aspects of conducting the championship here, both inside and outside the ropes.
How tempting might it be to put some pin positions that could lead to a possible ace on the flower hole? Somebody makes one of those, you know, it'll be in highlight reels for years.
Yeah, I think, you know, the flower hole, certainly, as we were selecting hole locations, beginning to figure out hole locations yesterday, we want it to be a test of golf to where whoever hoists that trophy is the right person. But every now and then, you got to maybe contemplate instituting a little entertainment value as part of it. And we know that the flower hole will shine. You know, I don't even know what the flower hole design is going to look like and what colors will be there. That's been a secret that Century World has kept from us. So it's going to be exciting to us. But most definitely, I think you'll see some short birdie opportunities on 17 during the week.
I know that some
16, excuse me.
Okay. Some championships, they advertise a certain yardage, and then things move around, and especially at the senior level, we've heard courses are advertised, oh, they're going to play 7,100, then they're really playing 6,780. I know you mentioned a window there. How close will you stay to the yardage, pending weather, obviously, where you'll set up your tee boxes?
Unless we get a lot of wind and a lot of rain, we'll be above 7,000 yards for sure the entire 4 days. I think that we do have the flexibility to move it around if we need to, but I don't know that we'll have to, because I think we won't have to go up teeing grounds. We can stay on the same teeing ground and provide the same level of experience. They've got sub-air beneath all the greens. You know, the greens won't get overly soft on us. It's just really how fairways are receptive if we get kind of heavy rain. But I know this isn't a windy part of the world or Wisconsin, so we should be fine. I'm willing to bet we'll be over 7,000 every single day.
What kind of potential do you see for Century World in the future with the USGA from what you've seen so far?
Well, so far their commitment to the preparation says a lot. I mean, it's a hard decision to make, given everything that, you know, that we've gone through with the renovations and stuff. I think it was the right decision that they made. That says a lot about kind of how they back things that come here. Our experience today, I think, is going to be a testament to that. But there's a lot of unknowns still. This is a new golf course, new to when even the 19 girls junior was here. We don't know how it will necessarily play. We can't. I'd love to be able to look back on it and say, oh, we knew that, and we knew that. But that's not necessarily the case. There's some new, not new holes, but new fairway widths. There's a couple of new greens. The 13th hole, I mean, look around the room. You know, there's pictures of holes that are very different than the last time we played. So I think, like any championship, we got to wait till the end. We got to say, hey, what went well, what went poorly, and then make an evaluation after the fact.
The term anchor sites is getting used, places like Pinehurst, so forth, etc. Between Erin Hills and Century World, has the USGA found, shall we say, two anchor courses here in the state of Wisconsin?
I would say, I don't know if I'd say that, but I would say I think Wisconsin's probably an anchor state. I mean, you look at from Lake Michigan to where we are now, the wonderful golf that's within the state of Wisconsin, whether, you know, it's Kohler down through kind of Milwaukee, heading towards Erin Hills, leading up through kind of where Sand Valley and Stevens Point is. And, you know, you could keep going on all the way into Minneapolis. And this stretch, this kind of golf trail, if you will, is just phenomenal. We keep coming back. And I like to think the primary reason that we're coming back is outstanding golf. and outstanding people and great, you know, community support. And when all those things come together, we have a great championship.
Can you tell me, is the USGA excited about the future events that they've scheduled at the Chicago Golf Club? All of us down in Chicago would love to see more of the USGA coming to town, especially since our tour events have gone more frequently of late out of town.
Well, Chicago is you know, is a great city for golf, and being back at Chicago Golf Club is outstanding. Obviously, a founding member of the USGA. I'd like to think that we'll continue to be coming into that area as often as we possibly can. But given that we only have 15 championships in a year, there's only so much love that you can spread around. But coming back to a great club like Chicago Golf is going to be a thrill for many. And I know we had a great Senior Women's Open there, and I don't think it'll be the last time that we find ourselves in the Windy City.